Tonight we're glad to have Brother Jed Resurrection. Brother Jed is a missionary to the Philippines. And Brother Jed, we've been sponsoring, I guess, for around a year, a little over, something like that. And he's a brother in Christ, and I appreciate him. I appreciate when I get to talk to him on the phone, he's always an encouragement. And Brother Jed, you come, you just do whatever God would have you to do, okay? Before he.
Amen, Brother Jed.
Before. You need to pray first before you can use this. Before I speak to you tonight, may I ask my wife to come and let us just one song tonight.
And giving and loving brought pain, and I promise I would never let it happen again. But I found out that loving was all worth the risk, and that even in losing, you win. I'm going to
tonight. We have some slides to show to you. These are pictures of the ministry that you have supported in the Philippines. In 2001, I've been pastoring a church in one of the islands in the Philippines, in the island of Cebu, for 11 years. Then in 2001, God led me and my family to leave that island and go to Mindanao, the southernmost part island of the Philippines, to start a pioneering church. And the pictures that I'm going to show you tonight is the progress of the church from May 2001 until today. No, that's not the ministry. That's me and my wife and our two children, Jonathan and Ria May. They are now in the Philippines. That's the Philippines. The official name is the Republic of the Philippines. It's composed of 7,107 islands. We have 83 million people in population, and 88% of that are Catholics. This is our pioneering church. That's the first meeting place we have. And these are some of the first church members. This is our early church services. We have our service in the garage then. The garage can only hold 35 people. But then God blessed that work that we are overflowing during the time. These are the children that we teach then in our Sunday school. The garage also is used as our Sunday school classrooms. These are our early baptisms. We baptized in the sea before, just fronting the Pacific Ocean. This is one of the pictures of our Bible Training Institute. Our evangelistic program is to train our own people to reach our own people, training the Filipinos to reach the Filipinos. This is our children good news and extension classes every Saturday. We have 10 areas, depressed areas, that we go to every Saturday. All of our young people go there and teach the children. This is the start of the clearing and the construction of our new church building on the lot where God allowed us to buy. And that's our new church building. It can seat 300 people. And then on the other side is the construction of our Bible school dormitory and the Christian and Sunday school building. That's our Sunday school classes before we had the building. We held our classes outside. And you can see the children that we ministered to every Sunday. This is our church now. We are now having an average attendance of 265 people every Sunday. And this is the baptism we have now inside our church. We did not bring the sea inside the church. We built a baptistry inside. And that's our Sunday school classes now. That's my wife having her junior class. And these are some of the other rooms that we now use for our Sunday school and also our Christian school. This is our youth program and worship every Sunday afternoon. You can see a lot of young people coming forward, receiving, and giving their lives to the Lord. This is some of our ministries. We have a feeding ministry every Saturday also. We are also involved in missions, in sending out and commissioning of missionaries. This is our radio broadcast. We do it every day, an hour a day for the whole month. It can reach, and this is our Christian school. This is our youth ministry. These are some of the young people that, you know, we minister to every summer. The picture below is taken last April during our summer youth camp. And it's the picture of some of the missionaries that we send out, support, and sponsors. We put there your supported missionaries because our missionaries are also your missionaries. The money that you send us do not stop in our church. It's also sent out to some of the preachers and churches in our area. We have now 27 local missionaries and 4 foreign missionaries that are working in Cambodia, Ethiopia, Bangladesh, and South Korea. We thank the Lord for allowing us to be here tonight. We thank you for your kindness and for the warm reception we have this afternoon from the brothers, from the brethren. And also, we thank Pastor Darin for allowing us also to be here tonight. You just do not know that, but I always visited your website and always listened to some of the messages. And you ministered to me also. For those of you who do not know me yet or may have forgotten me, I am Brother Jed Resurrection, your missionary to the Philippines. I was here 2 years ago. And when I came here, I came on a Wednesday night. Pastor Darin was not here then. But then when I called him back, he was so kind to allow me to come and be with you again on a Sunday evening. And there's a lot of testifying that evening, a lot of singing, and we're so blessed. I am now 40 years old. And I was saved by the grace of God on January 4, 1987. It's been 18 years now since I surrendered my life to the Lord. And it's been 18 years now that I've been preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peoples have changed. Places have changed. But praise the Lord, God has never changed. Will never change. The word of God has not changed. And the message is still the same. It is Jesus saved. First, let me thank you for all your prayers and financial support for us in the Philippines. As I've told you earlier, many of the things that we're able to do, we will never be able to do had it not been for your generous heart and for your kind spirit. You embraced us as your brother and sister. You took part with our ministry and carry our burdens. And we thank you. As a result of that, great things have been done by the Lord for our people. We were able to establish several churches in the Philippines. And by the grace of God, we will continue doing so. There is no desire in my heart to build a big church because that's not what we need in the Philippines. What we need in the Philippines are churches. Not just one church, but churches. It's my vision that one day, every municipality in our city, in our province, will have a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Christ-exalting Baptist churches in that area that will proclaim the great salvation of our Lord and Savior. Please pray for me and my wife. I stated in our last newsletter that we're going to have a quick trip to the United States of America. Every 2 years we come here, but we don't stay long. We always see to it that we will not stay in the United States for over 3 months. So we come and then we stay for 3 months and then go back again to the Philippines. In fact, sometimes earlier, as soon as the Lord provide for the need that we came for. We are here in the United States of America on deputation purposes, representing the work of the Lord to raise additional support for our ministry in the Philippines. There's a new church that we have started, and there are several pastors also that we have commissioned, and they need support. You know, God gave me a visa for 10 years. In the Philippines, very difficult to get a visa. Sometimes the embassy in the Philippines will just give a one-month visa, and then when you come to the United States, they'll only give you 1 week, 4 weeks, or two-month visa. But God gave me a 10-year visa. And then whenever I come to the United States, they will always give me a 1 year or a 6 month visa. But I believe God gave me the visa not to enhance myself or not to enrich or not for our own advancement. I believe God gave us the visa to be the tool that God can use for the ministry in the Philippines. I ask you to pray for me and my wife and pray for us also that God will prosper our trip here in the United States. We are now praying to be able to purchase a 12,500 square meter lot. That's equivalent of almost 3 acres here in the United States. Our property in the Philippines that we will be able to use to build the new church for our new mission work and a campsite for our young people. Every year, our churches host a youth camp, a summer youth camp. And this summer youth camp has been used of God over the years for the encouragement of our young people in the Philippines. Every year we see tens, hundreds of young people getting saved and getting called to the ministry through this camp. Just last summer, 60 young people came forward to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And 19 also came forward to surrender their lives to a full-time ministry of the gospel. They are now enrolled in several of the Bible Institute in our churches. And finding a place to host this camp, because this is a growing ministry, is getting difficult for us. If we can get this lot, then we will solve the problem. And every church now in the Philippines can have a site where we can hold, encourage, and challenge our young people for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you help us with this, I believe you are not only investing something for the Philippines today, but you're investing for the ministry into the future. Our national hero once said that the hope of our country is the youth of today. I will go further. The hope of our ministry in the Philippines is the youth Christians today. It is our vision to leave an impression upon them that after we pass from this world, we have left for the next generation a legacy of faithfulness. And this campsite will serve as a testament to that. I would look forward for that day when every pastor, young minister, young evangelist in the Philippines, when you ask them how it all started, can look back and point to that campsite, to that place, and say, this is where it all began. This is where I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where I was challenged to live a godly life. This is where I was called of God to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray for me. We have no intention of staying long in your country, as I've said before. As soon as we raise the money, we are raising $30,000. That's 1.5 million pesos. As long as we raise that, we're off to the Philippines. We already have pre-booked our ticket on October 28th. We want to be there on time for our daughter's 15th birthday. And please pray for us. We are now 10%. We are just 10% of the money of the amount that we came for. We are now here for 5 weeks already, but we still have another 2 months to do the work that we came for. We need your prayer. We desire your prayer. We desire your partnership, and we desire your being a partaker of this endeavor today. May we all please stand up and give reverence to the reading of the Word of God tonight. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. I'll begin reading on verse number 17, and then bear with me until verse number 24. The Bible said, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back at nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, O God, Lord, I pray that you will be with us tonight, O God. I pray, Lord, that you speak to each and every heart tonight, Lord. May we find encouragement to thy word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll open thy word to us. And I pray to God, Lord, that you'll be glorified and be magnified, Lord, as we learn from thy word. Lord, may we find some strength, encouragement, Lord, and dedication, commitment, O Lord, to thy word tonight. Use me, O God. Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May we all please be seated. I'd like to bring to you the message tonight on that great statement of the Apostle Paul in verse number 24. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. In the ministry of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the rescuing and reaching the souls of men from the pits of hell, there are very important questions of which we must fully understand and seek into our hearts the answers. Number one question is, how much compassion do we have for the souls of men? Let me tell you this, no man can ever be passionate for the salvation of the souls of men without a compassionate heart for the lost. This gives us the question, how much of our tears is a soul worth? Do we cry for the souls of men? Let me remind you that it was compassion that made David Livingstone to labor for the souls of the natives in the dark continent of Africa. And he showed his great love for them when he instructed them to take out his heart after he died and bury it in the soils of Africa. It was compassion that moved William Carey to go to India, for Adoniram Hudson to go to Burma, and for Hudson Taylor to labor for the souls of the Chinese. It was after the Second World War when the late Bob Hughes came to the Philippines and became our missionary. The Philippines is composed of 7,107 islands. But what Bob Hughes saw when he came to the Philippines are not islands. What he saw are people who are crying and dying and without hope, going to hell without Christ. He wept for the souls of the Filipinos. He sat where we sat. And as a result of that, many of us who for centuries are under the bondage, spiritual bondage of the devil and of that great false religious system, which is Roman Catholicism, are freed and saved. Psalms 126 verses 5 and 6, the Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds with him, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I believe tonight we will see many sinners coming before the altar weeping if more saints of God weep over their lost souls. How much compassion do we have for the souls of men? Then how much commitment do we have for the salvation of men? That gives us the question, how much of our time is a soul worth? How much of our trouble is a soul worth? The Philippines is a country with much less opportunity than your country has. For most of the Filipinos, America is heaven on earth. Thousands upon thousands of Filipinos will line up at the U.S. Embassy hoping to get a visa, get out from the Philippines, live in the United States of America in search of greener pastures. Almost everybody wants to leave the Philippines. Almost everybody do not want to go to the Philippines. I always encourage our friends here to consider visiting us in the Philippines. But many so-called safe countries today will advise their own people not to go to the Philippines. That's why you will find fewer and fewer missionaries going to the Philippines today. But we love our country. It is our place. And they are our people. It is the place of our birth. If we do not consider much what is going to happen to us, What we consider most is what is going to happen to our people if they fail to realize and to know the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Will you get up? Will you go? Will you give up the gospel? We say to the Lord, yes, we will, no matter what the cost. How much compassion, how much commitment? And that gives us the number three question. How much contribution shall we make for the salvation of the souls of men? How much of our treasure is a soul worth? How much of our talent is a soul worth? You know what is great about missions? It's great because we can go where we cannot go. We can minister to places where we cannot minister physically. The greatest investment of our resources, we must understand, is the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be the tools that God will use to keep people out of hell. I believe tonight these three things about compassion, about commitment, about contribution is settled and rooted in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And that's what made him say these strong words tonight, these encouraging words tonight. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Remember reading the conversion of the Apostle Paul in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, especially verses 15 and 16. You will find it there that God made it known to him that great things he will suffer for the Lord's sake. The Lord made it known to him that it is not going to be an easy life for the Apostle Paul. And we have learned from our King James Bible that dangers, disappointments, discouragements, desertions, difficulties, and even death came his way. But none of the difficulties, none of the discouragements, none of the desertions, none of these difficulties, none even death moved him. None of these things moved me. None of these things moved him from his calling, for he knows whom he had believed, and he is persuaded that he is able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. None of these things moved him from his commission. None of these things moved him from his calling. Why? None of these things moved him from his course. Why? Because he knows where he's headed. He knows that he is headed for victory. He knows that the sufferings of these present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul's life's motto is, for to me to live is Christ. Yes, he may be in peril. Yes, he may be persecuted. He may be bound. He may be imprisoned. He may die. But Apostle Paul knew that for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, it is far, far, far better to be present with the Lord. But you may ask tonight, how the Apostle Paul overcome the things that tried to move him away from the will of God. How the Apostle Paul withstood all of those things that would have moved him. What made Apostle Paul stood his ground, steadfast and strong, in spite of the odds against him? I believe there are four reasons tonight that we can get from the Apostle Paul. Number one, he was not moved because he knew he has God's presence. One of the greatest assurance that God made to his people when we do the work of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is this: lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, of the earth. I will never leave thee, nor forsake you. Yes, God promised that. The enemy may be powerful, he may be great, the temptations may be many, but the Bible said, greater is he that is in me than they that are in the world. One song goes like this: he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. Ooh, He abides, He abides. I can rejoice night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He knew He has God's presence. Number two, He knew He has God's power. God said to Isaiah, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of note. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." The Apostle Paul knows that he can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth him. He knew he's in God's presence. He knew he has God's power. And number three, he has God's greatest provision. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am glad tonight that I don't need to be an American to be saved. I just need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am saved." He said, "I am not ashamed." I believe that Apostle Paul is not only he is not only ashamed, but he is not afraid. And he's not even awkward of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul knew that he has at his disposal the most powerful weapon against all evil. And that is the very Word of God. The Word of God has power. You know what the power of the Word of God is? Are? Number one, the Word of God is the power to save. I was not introduced to the Bible, to the Word of God, until 1980. When I was in my first year high school, a group of Gideon men came to our school and distributed New Testaments. I opened that New Testament and I read about a verse that was translated into many languages that has been a blessing to millions of people. I read that verse and I was amazed it was translated in our own dialect. It was John chapter 3. Verse number 16. I read that. I memorized that. But sad to say, I never understood it. I never understood it until 1987. I remember a story about a boy in one of the worst winter your country ever had. It happened in Chicago. One day, there was a little boy shivering from the cold. He has no home. A policeman came to him and said, "Boy, why don't you go home?" The boy said, "Sir, I don't have a home." Then the policeman said, "Well, do you see that house down the road? Go to that house, knock on that door. A lady will meet you at the door and just say to the lady, 'Ma'am, John 3:16. So he went to that house, knocked on the door. A lady met him. And then he said, "Ma'am, John 3:16. And to his amazement, the door was open wide for him. The lady let him in. And then he felt so much comfort. Outside it was very cold, but inside it's warm. Amen. Amen. Then he said to himself, "I don't know what John 3:16 is, but this I understand. It can make a cold little boy warm." Then the lady led him to the kitchen, said to the little boy, "Eat. There's a lot of food on the table. Help yourself." The boy picked up every food he wanted. He ate, and before long he was full. Again he said to himself, "I'm amazed what John 3:16 is. I don't know. I don't understand what it is. But this I know. It made me warm, and it made a cold little boy warm, and a hungry little boy full." Then the lady led him to the bathroom, then prepared him new clothes. He took a bath, changed clothes, and felt so clean. He said again, I don't know what John 3:16 is, but it made a cold little boy warm. It made a hungry little boy full, and it made a dirty little boy clean. Then led him to a room, got a bed, beautiful bed, soft bed. He laid himself, fell sound asleep. In the morning, he woke up. He said to himself again, oh, how I wish I know what John 3:16 is. It made me warm. It made me full. It made me clean. And it made a tired little boy rested. He came out, he went out, met the woman and asked her, ma'am, please, I beg you, tell me what John 3:16 is. The woman said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That if he will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be saved. And the boy said, I believe. And he said, hallelujah, glory, praise the Lord. It made me warm. It made me clean. It made me full. It made me rested. And now it made a lost little boy saved. A homeless little boy with a mansion, with a home in glory. The word of God has a power to save. 1987, January 4, I finally understood what John 3:16 is. And by the grace of God, I am saved. I am saved. Glory. The word of God is the power to save. Then the word of God has the power to sanctify. Oh, how I'm amazed with great stories. I read about a story about of a man preaching. He was preaching his heart out, begging and pleading for man to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Then there was one infidel in the crowd. He stood up, shouted invective, ridiculed the man, said, oh, don't listen to him. He is fooling you. The Bible is not the word of God. Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. There is no salvation. Hell is in this earth. Heaven is in this earth. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. Then a little girl came up to him, pulled his coat down. He noticed her and said, what? The little girl said, sir, please don't do that. Please don't do that. See this beautiful little red dress of mine? Yeah? Ain't this pretty? The man said, yes. You know, sir, I cannot wear, I have never worn a dress this beautiful before. My father is a drunk. He will always come home drunk, spend all our money for food, and leave nothing for us. You see that beautiful woman sitting on the pew? The man said, yes, that's my mama. Ain't she beautiful? The man said, yes. You know, sir, my father will always come home drunk and beat my mother black and blue all the time. Sir, you see that man preaching? That's my daddy. He was drunk, but he was saved. He was changed, and now a preacher of the word of God. Please, sir, don't do that. Don't do that. The word of God has power to save. The word of God has power to sanctify. It has a power to sustain. And it has power to satisfy. And number four, he was not moved because he knew he is doing God's purpose. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul understood God's purpose for his life. He said, for though I preach the gospel of Christ, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, he understood this, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Paul knew three things about God's purpose. He knew that he owed it to the Lord, his salvation. He understood that one day the Son of God, the only begotten beloved Son of God, left his home, his place in glory, came into this earth, took upon him the flesh, took upon him the form of a servant. He suffered, falsely accused, bled, and died for a vile person like him, like you and me. They killed him. But praise the Lord, they can kill the Lord, but they cannot keep him dead. After 3 days, on the third day, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph of his foes. He arose, amen? He showed himself unto the disciples, then ascended up on high, and then he made a promise, I am coming again. Sir, he is coming again for you and for me. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You may have problems. You might have discouragements. You may have difficulties. People may have deserted you. You may be facing death. But the Bible said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you. Jesus Christ will not lie to us. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And receive you, Jed. And receive you, Darren. And receive you, Jasmine. And receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. All the sufferings, all the pain, all the victories, he did it all for you and for me. Then he knew that he owed it to the lost their salvation. The Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor. I must preach the gospel. I must do whatever I can to let the lost know that there is a Savior who loved them so much that he gave his life, died for them, even while we were yet sinners. He knew that he owed it to the love of God to serve him and give his life for him. It was John Wesley who said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. I can quote one man who said, our calling and purpose is to love God completely, to love ourselves correctly, and to love others compassionately. Is there something bothering you tonight? Is there something trying to move you away from your commitment to God? Is something discouraging you or destroying your faith in God? Let me go further. Are you saved tonight? Are you sure that if you die right now, you will be in the presence of God? Whatever it is, you know that your altar is open. You can come to God. You can ask for his presence. You can rely on his power. You can stand on his promises. And you can obey his purpose. You may have something going on with your life, but ask God's grace upon you so that you can stand with Apostle Paul and say, yes, I have some discouragement. Yes, I have some problems. Yes, something is bothering me. But by the grace of God, with his presence, with his power, with his provision, and with his purpose known and understood by me, none of these things will move me. Please remember us in your prayer. Thank you very much for having us tonight. God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Moving. I feel him tonight. Folks can come to the piano, organ, if you'd play softly tonight. You heard his closing statement. What is the difficulty? What is the thing that's causing you tonight to be concerned? You need to give that to the Lord. You need to come and say, Lord, help me that nothing would move me. Come on, remind him tonight. I know the Lord spoke.